We're taking you behind the scenes with entrepreneurs that run product-based businesses, people that were once in your shoes. Our TSBC alumni, speakers, and friends will shed light on growth strategies, resources, and inspiration to help you scale your creative business.
Hi friends, it's Katie Hunt, the founder of Trade Show Bootcamp, and welcome to Proof to Product. Today I'm chatting with Tanya Dalton, the owner of Inkwell Press and host of Productivity Paradox. Tanya is a productivity expert who believes that too many women feel overwhelmed with all that they have to do each day. She helps women use productivity to pursue their big goals and end each day feeling satisfied and successful. She's also an amazing businesswoman who tells her story of building her business from her kitchen table, and she shared her insights with us at the PaperCamp Plus conference this summer. On today's episode, we're talking about systems, automations, and prioritizing at both home and in your business. Hey, Tanya, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
Oh my gosh, you are truly the queen of productivity, and I greatly admire how you've streamlined things, not only in your business, but in your home. I swear I've been in this whole like kick of refining my own personal systems, and I'm constantly asking myself, what would Tanya do in this circumstance? So thank you for coming on.
You're too nice. I'm so happy to be here. I think the only thing we have to worry about with this show is that we don't talk too long, because I know you and I can totally talk business all day long because we both love it. So yeah.
It's true. Well, let's talk about your career path. Inkwell Press isn't your first business or your first career even. Where did you start?
So in my former life, I was an elementary school teacher, and that is really what I thought I wanted to be when I grow up. Like when you are in second grade and you do the essay, what I want to be when I grow up, mine was, I want to be a teacher. So mm-hmm. I thought I would be a teacher, and then I'd get married and have kids, and I'd be a stay-at-home mom, and this was my life all mapped out. So I graduated from college, and sure enough, I was an elementary school teacher for several years. I met my husband, got married, had my son, and then I worked part-time, but mainly was a stay-at-home mom. So mm-hmm. I thought, this is exactly what I'm supposed to do. But I found that my husband was traveling a lot. So he does marketing for these big Fortune 500 companies. So he would literally leave our home in Dallas, Texas, and fly all the way around the world. And he would circle the entire globe. And he would be gone for 3.5-4 weeks at a time. So I thought, you know what? I really would like to have some sort of creative outlet. I'm going to open up some sort of little shop just on the side to keep me entertained. So I had $50 and I decided I was going to open up this jewelry business. So that was, you know, I was kind of playing shop, not really being very serious with it. It was completely a side job. And while my husband was traveling, we had this routine where we would talk in the morning and once in the evening. So as one of us was getting up, the other one was going to bed, and we would chat. So this one afternoon, it was in the afternoon for me, my phone rings and it's my husband, and we get on the phone and I'm chattering away, doing all the talking as I normally am in our relationship. I'm the talker. And, you know, he got really, really quiet. And I said, when I say really, really quiet, my husband's already a quiet guy. So it was really quiet. And I said, are you okay? And he didn't say anything. I could hear him breathing, but that was all I could hear. So I got kind of nervous and I said, Are you all right? Is everything okay? And he said, I'm missing everything. Oh. Just like that. And just like that noise you made right there, that was the noise my heart made. I swear it broke my heart. And I was like, no. You know, the kids are so excited when you come home. It's always so fun when you come home. But I could tell that it really bothered him. And my husband is really hands-on and he's a great father. And I love that about him. So we finished up our conversation and I'm standing in my kitchen and I hang up the phone and I literally look out my kitchen window and see my kids playing on the playground in our backyard. And I, at that very moment, changed my entire life because I made that decision standing in that kitchen that I was going to grow my business, this little side business. I was going to grow to the point where my husband could quit working in corporate America and come and work with me at my business that I had started. So it was this lofty idea of this side business was somehow going to be able to support me and my family. And so I sat down that night and I pulled out a blank notebook and I started planning and I created ideas and systems for how I was going to make this work, because I still had two kids who were little, a husband who traveled for 3.5-4 weeks at a time, and I had to figure out how that was going to work. So I really buckled down and I implemented my systems. And within a year, my husband was able to come and work with me at my business. So I'd grown it from this side business into a full-fledged career for myself. So that was great. And we loved working together. So that made us really, really happy. So happy that we could live in Asheville, North Carolina. We moved to where we wanted to live because, well, we were online entrepreneurs. We could live wherever we wanted to. And we moved here in about 2012. And in 2013, I looked at my husband and I said to him, you know, I love working with you. I love talking about business and doing business itself, but I am not passionate about what we are doing, like what our business does, which was jewelry. And he said, okay, what does that mean? And I'm like, I don't know, because here, this is our sole income, right? We have two kids.
That's a scary conversation to have.
It was so scary because we have a car payment, we have a mortgage, we have two children and a dog and right, all the things. So he said to me, he said, okay, you tell me what you want to do and I will follow you wherever you want to go.
Wow.
So I sat down and I started giving myself these series of exercises to figure out what were the things I was passionate about. What were the things that really fulfilled me and made me feel excited? So I honed in on three things. So those three things were teaching. I loved teaching and I loved working with people and seeing their eyes light up when they learn something new. I loved empowering women because I was working with all these little small businesses and I was doing consulting for them and teaching them how to grow their own businesses. And I love productivity. That's something that I've always loved. And I know that that's what enabled me to grow my business to the point where my husband could come work with me. So I have these three things that are so unrelated, right? Education, empowering women, and productivity. Like, how, what am I going to do with this? So I had to create this thread between them. And that thread was Inkwell Press, which is the company that I started. So, so we came up with the idea that I was going to create productivity tools like planners, but it would have a really strong foundation of education. So when you purchase a planner from us, you don't just get a planner and then we say, okay, see you in a year. It comes with a series of six setup videos that walk you through how you can figure out how to use the planner and what's your personal productivity systems. And it was really focused in on women so I could empower women. And that is really what started Inkwell Press, was figuring out what were the things I was passionate about. How was I going to make this, you know, these things work so I could do something that fulfilled me? So we knew that we were going to go about 6 or 7 months without any income because we were going to close down our old business. So we buckled down, no more dinners out, no sushi, no movies. The kids, like after school activities, were like completely shut down. And we hunkered down and we figured out what we were going to do. Now, I do want to tell you that I had and my husband had zero graphic design experience. So none. But I knew this is what I was really meant to do and what I wanted to do. So took classes from lynda.com on how to use Illustrator and how to use, you know, InDesign, and figured it out and fumbled my way through. Any graphic designer would cringe when they saw the way that I did everything backwards, I'm sure. But we did it, you know, and I remember on our launch day, after all of this stress and worry of is this going to work? Are we going to be living in our cars? What are we going to do? How are we going to feed our kids? I remember looking at my husband on launch day where we had 500 orders on our launch day.
Wow.
And we looked at each other and I remember hugging him saying, we're going to be able to eat. We're going to be okay. It was scary. Yeah.
I got to tell you, I mean, I know you personally, so I know that you are a woman that is determined, you are smart, and you have grit. Like, you will put your nose to the grindstone and get the job done. But from an outside perspective, you can't help but say, oh my gosh, this sounds like a Cinderella story. Like, everything fell into place and she had all these orders. And so can we rewind a little bit? Like, what systems did you initially put into place to take this, you know, kitchen table hobby into this, you know, huge business that you're now running?
Yeah, I wish I could say I had all these little mice that were sewing dresses for me and, you know, flittering about and all that, but that's not how it worked. It was a lot of what any new business owner does. You know, it's a lot of blood, sweat, and a lot of tears, right? For me, with having two small children at home, that was really where I started a lot of my systems, was focusing on how was I going to be able to carve out the time for myself to be able to actually implement what I needed to do for my business.
Okay, smart.
Yeah, so for that, I was lucky enough to be able to pull from my experience as a classroom teacher. And I think that's one of the things that a lot of people forget about, or they don't think about. Look at how classroom teachers run things. How can you apply that into your house? So like an example of what I would do is I had a phone number for my business that had a separate ringtone. So I used Google Voice, which is a free service you can get through Google, so that you can have a separate phone number for your business than you have for your home. And I really advocate having separate phone numbers because it really helps you to be able to know who's calling, right?
Right.
So I had a separate ringtone for when somebody called my work phone number. So I trained my kids that when that ringtone was heard on my phone, that meant that mommy was on a work call. My kids are in preschool at the time. So I taught them that means mommy's on a work call. So I had a little chart sitting out that had pictures of different things they could do, you know, read a book, you know, play with blocks, watch a TV show, you know, different things like that. So they knew that when that ringtone went off, I would go over and I would point to the chart to tell them what they needed to do. And I would walk into the other room and be able to have a business conversation. So the thing is this, I can say that and it sounds like, oh, that sounds easy enough, but it doesn't.
To me, it sounds like I could never get my 3-year-old to do
that. But that's the thing is, it's like, it's not that it happened the first time. I did what happens at your school where your kids are in school. How do the teachers train them to go outside for a fire drill? Do they just wait until there's a fire? They don't wait and then go, okay, kids, line up in a straight line. They practice. So we would do these practice drills. And I will tell you, kids love that kind of thing, right? They eat that up. So we would do these practice drills where I'd put on the ringtone and I'd be like, what do you do? And then they would walk me through what we needed to do. And we would do this again and again and again until it was time for the real thing and the phone would ring and I could, you know, carry out that system. So that's really what I focused at the beginning, was how was I going to make this work with my kids, you know, there, because I needed to have a space for me to work that they knew that when I was in that space, mommy was in work mode. And they knew when that ringtone went off, mommy's in work mode. So it's really a lot of training your kids when you have small kids at home. And then I focused on that system first, and then I focused on the next system, and then that grew. And I think one of the mistakes a lot of people make is they think, I need to create all the systems all at once and try to implement them. And then because that becomes so overwhelming, it just falls apart. So
It causes paralysis. I mean, I think too, as you were talking about it, I was thinking to myself, yeah, it's constantly a struggle to decide where I'm going to systematize. Am I going to systematize on my personal side, of, you know, in the personal life, or am I going to focus on the business side? And it's easy to kind of segment it in our own head, but really they overlap so much. And I do think that there's so many areas that we all want to create these systems and automations and all this, and if we don't just stop and peel back the onion one layer at a time and focus on one thing, it can lead to just a paralysis because there's too much we want to do.
Yeah, I mean, I remember dropping off my kids at Mother's Day out and then going home and standing in my kitchen and literally taking a step in one direction, then stepping in another direction and just turning in circles going, where am I going to start? Where am I going to start? And that's one of the things I often say is overwhelm is not having too much to do. It's not knowing where to start. And many times it's just starting and getting that first step going. It's so much easier when there's not a blank page staring you in the face, reminding you that you haven't done anything at all. So what I try to encourage people to do is start with just one system. Like for me, I focused on my kids. What's one system I can implement with my children? And let's work on that for this week. And then next week we can build on that. And sometimes you can piggyback, you know, one system off of another system. And then allow it to grow more organically, especially if you are the only person working in your business or you're a small business, as I am even today. It's one of those things where if you have everything going on at once, it becomes so confusing. And we have that overwhelm. Yeah. You have to know where to start.
It really does. Let's switch gears from personal systems to business systems. What are some common pain points that you see in entrepreneurs when it comes to productivity and systems and automations?
I think it's that so many entrepreneurs try to do all the things. I think they try to do, mm-hmm. when I say all the things, I mean all of the jobs that are, that, you know, are required for an entrepreneur. They try to do all of the products or all of the services. They want to do all the things because we have such a fear of missing out, especially in today's society, that we're afraid to not do it. We're afraid, what happens if I don't take advantage of this opportunity, or I don't implement this system, or if I don't? And really, a lot of times it is constraints that will really set you free. I think that Steve Jobs is the master. He was the master of constraints in that he was able to look at what Apple was doing and create it into one direction. And I'll tell you what I mean by that. We all know, of course, that Steve Jobs got kicked out of Apple, right? And right. Poor guy starts this company, then he gets kicked out, and then they're not doing well. And when he came back in 1997, they were billions and billions of dollars in debt, like several right. hundred billion dollars in debt. And so the first thing that Steve Jobs did when he walked into the Apple's doors, besides, you know, pat himself on the back for getting back in the door, he then went through and he cut 71% of Apple's offerings. So these were things that wow. were already on the shelf. These were things that were in product development, maybe ready to go onto shelves. 71%. He went in and he said, no, 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 no. And you know what happened with Apple that wow. first year after he was there? They made a profit. They went from a deficit in the billions to a profit in the hundred millions. By saying wow. no, by doing less. And I think people get really caught up in more is more. And so often, less is more. When you're really focused in and you're able to constrain and figure out what it is you really want to do, it's that whole idea of making steps in the same direction. To me, productivity yeah. is velocity. And that means you're moving in one direction instead of trying to move in all the directions. So I think that's one of the biggest mistakes is people are trying to do so many things. They're not able to move forward. They're moving in circles.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. And I think that ties back to prioritizing too. What are your goals? What is your focus? What do you hope to accomplish with all these different things that you want to tackle? Just kind of, you know me, I like to set goals, but I also like to check in and see where my progress is and see if we are headed in the direction that I'm hoping to go in, I guess.
Absolutely. And I think that's one of the things I think is lacking when a lot of people do set goals is they forget to make an action plan for their goals. How are you actually right. going to get to it? So a lot of times I equate it to standing on the banks of a big river and your goal is on the other side of that river. So you can either start jumping in and going across the river and then you get halfway through and you don't know what to do and the current is sweeping you away, or you can take a minute and you can look and you can say, okay, there's a rock here. I can jump to that rock. Then I can jump to that rock there. And you can create a map for yourself of how you're going to get to that goal and how you're going to get across this river. And yep. then when you're at the halfway point, you're not stuck. You're not getting swept away. You're able to make it the whole way across. And so I think it's really important that you are always making an action plan and stopping to assess. That's one of the reasons why with mm-hmm. our planners, we have not just goal setting pages, but each month there is a mission board for you to check. How am I doing on my goals? What do I need to do this month to work towards those goals? How am I going to get closer across mm-hmm. that river? And I think that a yeah. lot of people get caught up in, you know, these to-do lists. And that's one of my new platforms is I say, throw out the to-do list. To-do lists do not work. And I feel like that's one of those productivity things that people feel like, aren't you supposed to make a to-do list? But to me, a to-do mm-hmm. list is so overwhelming. You know, we talked about that earlier because they're so long yeah. and we put things on there and we don't even know where to start. So I yeah. say you don't do a to-do list, you create a priority list. So you create, it takes the same amount of time as doing a to-do list, but you have different levels of priorities and you put your items, you don't write them down and then prioritize them. You take them before you've written them down, figure out which category they fit under. So I have a whole prioritization yeah. system that I have built into my daily planner to help people write out a list of what they're going to do today. And in theory, because it's prioritized, you know where to start. Start with your most important right. items, right? So there's a lot right. to be said for figuring out that map of no. Think about when you're traveling and you're in a new city and you don't know where anything is. Sometimes it can be a little bit scary and you don't know what to do. But when you have a yeah. map in front of you, you feel so much more at ease and you're able to be a little more comfortable. Mm-hmm. And that allows you to do your best work when you know where it is you want to go.
I like the idea of a priority list because I think it also minimizes the amount of fires that you're mm-hmm. putting out. I feel like if you have a to-do list, it's just merely a list of all the things you need to take care of, you know, and in no particular order, it's just all the things that come to your mind. And that leaves a lot of space and a lot of room for emergencies to fill. Well, they're not all emergencies if we're being honest about it, but you know, for these other things that kind of pop up in your inbox and appear to be, you know, somebody else's emergency. It's not necessarily your priority. And so I like the idea of focusing on what the priority is. Now, do you break that down by like priorities for the week, priorities for the month, or how do you systematize that?
So I like to start my week with a big week brain dump of what it is I'm wanting to do for mm-hmm. the week. And that I don't worry about prioritizing. I sit down and on Sundays, I do planning and I do that with my family on the personal side. So that way my kids are doing okay. the planning with me. Everyone knows what's going on in everyone else's world for that week. For work, I start by doing Monday morning. I sit down and I do that same activity for business. And I write down what is it I want to get done this week. And then to me, what I think is really most important is I don't schedule in, this is what I'm doing for Monday. This is what I'm doing for Tuesday. This is what I'm doing for Wednesday.
Yeah,
because I feel like, you know, some days we're able to get a lot of work done and that's great. But sometimes you wake up on Tuesday morning and it's just a rough day, right? Like nothing is going right.
Yeah.
The car doesn't start. You hit traffic. You get to work late. You feel like a mess. You have allergies, whatever it is.
Right.
And Tuesday's hard. There's going to be hard days.
Yeah.
You get into the, you know, your studio or your workspace. And then Tuesday, you don't get nearly as much accomplished. Well, if you've already set, this is what I'm doing Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. Well, if you don't get everything done on Tuesday, where are you starting Wednesday?
You feel behind.
Right, you're already,
You
already have to do Tuesday's work plus Wednesday's, which means that Wednesday starts by you feeling bad about where you are. So then Wednesday you end up behind and then Thursday you get behind. And this is how we end our days.
True.
With our head hitting the pillow, feeling like we have failed, that we have not done enough and we are unsuccessful. So to me, it's really sitting down each morning and planning that day. What am I going to do this day? What do I think is accomplishable for myself today? Is today a day where I feel like I can do a lot? Then I'll put a little bit more on my plate. If today is a day that I don't feel like I can do as much, I'm going to make sure I set my days to be achievable. So when I'm making my priority list, I take that into consideration. And then the following day, so Tuesday I don't get as much done, Wednesday's a clean slate. I start Wednesday, maybe I feel good. Maybe I feel great because I woke up early and was able to get some things done. Who knows? But each day is treated as its own little container instead of bleeding over from the day before.
Yeah.
And I think that makes a big difference.
I think so too.
I spend 10 minutes, 10 minutes of each day planning out that day. And to me, that centers me and it creates a rhythm for my day is what I call it.
Well, and it creates a more positive mindset too of, as we talked about, not starting the day feeling behind or not starting the next day feeling behind, like you have to play catch up. It gives yourself the space to figure out what should I be focused on and what can I accomplish? I do something similar every morning. I sit down and I write down like three things and it is kind of a mix of a priority / to-do list, but I really focus on like three core things that I want to try to get done.
Mm-hmm.
And that way it doesn't feel like this overwhelming long list. It doesn't feel like, I don't know. And usually I get through those, but like you said, if I'm feeling good, if I'm feeling hot, like things are getting done, then I'll add a few more things to it or, you know, cross them off later and write them on later. So I feel accomplished.
That works too.
Yeah.
But it's like what you were saying where everything feels urgent. And part of the reason why we get to that state where everything feels urgent is because in our priority levels, so our top priority level that I have is immediate. And those are things that are important and urgent. So those are the things that are important in moving us forward towards our goals and our mission and where we want to go. And they're also urgent. The second level is important, but not urgent. So these are the things that are really important, but they're not like screaming out at us. They're not the fires that need to be put out. The third level is insignificant, which is the things that are not important, but are urgent. So what ends up happening is that third level ends up getting the most attention because it's screaming out at you, right? And these are the things that are unimportant. So that second level, that important, but not urgent, those get pushed aside. They get, I'll do that later. I'll do that later. I'll do that later. And then what happens? All of a sudden, they go from being non-urgent to being fires we have to put out.
Right.
And so if you're doing a priority list where you're looking and you're actively working down the list from immediate to important, and insignificant falls underneath that, you're taking care of a lot of those important items in a proactive state, yeah, in a non-urgent fashion, so you can really spend the time to do your best work. And that, yeah, way they don't become urgent fires. And then that's the goal, is that we have less things that are important and urgent.
Wow. You just dropped some serious knowledge right there. I'm like, you got my wheels turning. I'm like, yeah, yeah. Because to the insignificant stuff at the bottom, that's the stuff that we can typically do fairly quickly. Mm-hmm. And so I think we kid ourselves sometimes because we focus on that insignificant stuff because, oh, I can cross it off the list, right, quickly. And it's kind of a waste of time. We need to be focused on the things that are going to have the biggest impact and make the most strides in your business.
Yep. And that's usually, as you said, the first thing we do on our to-do list. Because our to-do list, mm-hmm, is not prioritized, we start with what can I quickly and easily cross off? This is a fire. Right. I'm just going to take care of it. Even though really in the scheme of your day and of your life, it is an insignificant item. Right. We're just doing it so we can cross all these things off. So start by knowing where to start. Create a priority list.
Easier said than done right there.
Right, right.
So at PaperCamp Plus, you talked about some of the systems you've built for your team, and it was a really powerful conversation and presentation. So thank you so much for joining us for that.
Oh, I loved it. So I was happy to be there.
It was fun.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Can you share a few examples of the systems you've built into your team with us here on the business side of things?
Yeah. So one of the things that I think is really powerful is our automations. So we have an automations calendar that we use for my team. So that way, nothing falls through the cracks. Because I feel, mm-hmm, like there's so many things that we have to do on a regular basis. And when they don't get done, they turn into those fires that we were talking about, those urgent items. Because there are things that are important, not necessarily urgent. And then it's like, let's say, inventory. So a lot of your listeners, mm-hmm, I know, have product-based businesses, as of course I, yeah, do. So you should be doing inventory every month, right? Even if you have an inventory system, you still do a physical inventory just to double check everything looks good. So if you don't have an automation where you're doing inventory regularly, a lot of times what happens is inventory gets pushed aside. It doesn't get done. All of a sudden you wake up and you're like, oh my gosh, I have not run inventory in like 6 months. I have to do it now. Right. And all of a sudden it's this urgent fire, right?
Or you've got an order come in that you can't fill because you don't have the product.
Because your inventory is off. Exactly. So if you set these automations, these things that just happen automatically each month, it makes life so much easier. I often, mm-hmm, talk about you really want to take the thinking out of it. And by that, mm-hmm, I mean your brain burns 20% of your calories every day. Your brain does that. Seems like we should all, wow, be like super thin, right? Because we're all working really hard. But your brain is burning all these calories. So whenever it can, it wants to conserve calories. So if you're burning calories thinking about, oh, I've got to do inventory, I've got to do this, I got to do that, you're not really able to use your calories for the big stuff, for the things that, mm-hmm, really will make a difference in your business, the things that like creativity and coming up with a new product or whatever it is. So we try to take the thinking out of it as much as possible. So for us, for example, we have themes to our days. So Monday, mm-hmm, is marketing Monday, this. Tuesday is team Tuesday, Wednesday is, let's say, warehouse Wednesday. And so each day has its own kind of idea of what gets done. So on warehouse Wednesdays, what we do is we take care of warehouse tasks. Well, I have this automation calendar, so I know that on the third Wednesday of the month, that's when inventory gets run. So, mm-hmm, it happens on the third Wednesday every single month. It's on our calendar. We make sure to check the calendar each day of what needs to be taken care of. So inventory automatically happens. I don't worry about it slipping through the cracks or going 6 months without having checked it because it just happens.
So I love this. Mm-hmm. Diving a little deeper though into, let's say, Warehouse Wednesday, like you have different tasks for every week of the month on that Wednesday, but they still are tied back to, in this case, the warehouse. So like maybe one is cleaning or one,
yeah,
is.
Yeah, so it might be like cleaning the shipping printer or checking, mm-hmm, the inventory of the shipping supplies. So that's different from regular, gotcha, inventory. Or it might, right, be, you know, reorganizing and, you know, consolidating and making sure that the warehouse is organized or... So on Wednesdays, mm-hmm, we do some sort of warehouse activity that's
nice,
focused on the warehouse.
In addition to your other work.
In addition to my other work. And the reason why it becomes so easy is because, you know, I think Financial Fridays is a big thing that we do at our office because we used to hate financial things, right? And we would put it off and we'd put it off and we would not reconcile QuickBooks. It was like, oh, we're making money. We're okay. I don't want to think about it. Right?
Right.
Nobody really, I guess some people do, really like the bookkeeping part, but we don't. So just to be honest, so we put it off. And then it became this gigantic beast of like, oh gosh, now I have to reconcile all of these orders. There's like 3 months worth of stuff. And it became horrific. Well, now we have Financial Fridays. So every Friday, we reconcile the books. And it takes us maybe 20 minutes to really do the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And it never becomes this out of control monster because we're doing it every Friday. And so because it's so, you know, it's such a smaller batch, it's not 3 months worth of stuff. It's just 6 days worth of stuff. It's so much more manageable. So we get it done and then we feel good about it. Like, that's done. And there's a lot to be said for that.
Well, it sets expectations for your team, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you know, okay, you know, afternoon, 1 o'clock or whatever, like, here's what we do. We do today's task, or I don't know how you structure it. But I feel like it takes the guesswork out of some of these things that could easily fall through the cracks, as you said.
Or like who's in charge of this? Oh, you haven't done this? Mm-hmm. Nobody knows what's going on. And the other thing it takes care of is you managing everybody. So if you have a team, you know how difficult it can be to manage people because you need to make sure that everybody's doing their jobs. Well, if you don't have a system in place that you automatically know that these things are being done, it becomes stressful. Then I have to ask, oh, did you do this? Did you do that? Did you do this? I don't have to worry about that because each of my team members knows what they need to work on because it's on the automations calendar. So that's that there is one less thing that I have to think about. So less calories that my brain is burning, more calories for me to spend on doing design work and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it really makes a big difference, not only in your white space and your ability to think, but your stress level. I don't go home and I don't lay in bed at 2 o'clock in the morning and think, oh my gosh, we need to run inventory. I haven't done that in so long. There's a lot to be said for feeling less stressed.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you. So what does success look like for you? How do you define that in your world, in your business?
Oh, that's a good question. I really like that question. Success to me really looks, because I think there's this conception of balance that I think is wrong, just to throw that out there.
Yeah.
We hear about balance. We hear about, oh, work-life balance. I feel like it's this big buzzword. And people, you know, they have articles and books and, you know, all kinds of things about balance. And I think balance is bogus. There is no such thing as balance because balance sounds like everything has to be equal. And to me, there are three parts to you. There is work, there is home, and there is personal. And each one of those buckets is its own little, you know, entity, its own little container. And to me, it's really about finding harmony. For how is this going to work? So sometimes you really need to spend more time on work and there's a little less time for personal things. That's okay because we're not focused on the balance of 24 hours. We're focused on the overall harmony. You know, there will be other times where that personal bucket, well, you'll make that up and it will, you know, it'll be more full. And what I think is so interesting with this concept of balance is that truly we don't want balance. Who wants balance? You know what balance means? Balance means you are standing still and you're not really moving in any direction. Mm-hmm. We actually want imbalance. In order to move forward, in order to get this velocity, this movement in one direction, you have to have imbalance. Nothing moves, right, until there's an equal action or whatever it is, you know.
Right.
So you need to have that imbalance in order to move forward in a direction. So that might mean more time in your personal bucket for a while. And work takes a little bit of a backseat. That's okay. Later on, you're going to have some harmony and that's going to even out. So I really think that to me, success looks like harmony. There's no balance.
Yeah.
It's not about, you know, making sure I spent 4 hours at work. So I spend 4 hours with my kids and then I spend 4 hours at the gym, or not that I ever would spend 4 hours at the gym, mind you. But, but, you know, for me, success looks like at the end of the day, when my head hits the pillow, I feel happy, satisfied, and successful. That I end my days feeling on a positive note, and I'm not beating myself up for what I did not do. I am not thinking about all the things I missed out on. I am not thinking about the terrible things that happened in my day. I am content. And that to me is what success is.
Oh, that's beautiful. I really enjoyed hearing you say
that. Thank you.
Oh, so what's next for Inkwell Press, and what do you have coming up in the next week, for example?
Well, I love that you asked that, because I do have our very first course that is launching. So I am beyond excited for this. As I mentioned earlier, education is a big part of our core values and what Inkwell Press is all about, just because that fulfills my teacher heart. So earlier this year, I launched my podcast, Productivity Paradox, and that was just kind of dipping my toes into really going a little more hardcore into the education direction. And so now, starting this week, our card is opening actually for our first ever course, which I am very excited about. We talk about laying your foundation. What is your purpose? What is your passion? What are the things that are really important to you? We talk about how to streamline and how to edit, how to create structure to your days. So my goal is with this course, it's a 4-week course, is that at the end of the course, you feel like your productivity has increased and that you feel happier. So that definition of success, that's what I'm looking for. And I think it's important to note that my definition of productivity is not getting more things done in less time. It really is getting the important things done. And that is what my goal is with this course, is that you understand and you start to figure out what are the important things to you, and then how do I move in a direction so that that is the things that I focus my days on. So
that's awesome. And that course is aimed at both entrepreneurs as well as people working in the corporate world, people that have families, those that don't. Like, it's pretty applicable to anybody,
right? It really is, because we make sure, to me too, this is what I think is interesting is, you know, we have stay-at-home moms who listen to the podcast and they're like, oh, okay, you give business advice. How do I apply that? And I'm like, listen, you are the CEO of your home. Run your home like you do a business. Systems work at home. Streamlining works at home. Having a purpose and a mission in your home life works too. So to me, this is the type of course that applies to really anyone. Anyone who really wants to move forward in the direction that they feel is fulfilling to them. And I think that's the key, is that it's what's fulfilling to you. And that's different for each person. So it's discovering that and then figuring out how you're going to create systems so that you can actually make that happen.
Oh, this course is going to help so many people. I can't wait to dive in and see it myself. So thank you for creating
it. I'm so excited about it. I think you know, because we've been talking about it for some time, but it is one of those things that I feel has been in my heart for a while that I've really been wanting to do. Mm-hmm. So to see that it's now here and it's coming to fruition is so exciting. And I am so excited about each of the videos that we're doing and the modules, and it's really exciting. So I love that it's fulfilling part of my mission. So
good. Well, we'll definitely include that link here in the show notes for anyone that's interested in checking it out. We'll also make sure that your podcast is linked there too, for people that want to listen in there. But where can people find you online if they want to look at your planners or your other products or any of the things we've just talked about too? Where's the best spot they should head to?
That's a good question, because I feel like I'm all over, right?
No, I didn't mean it that way.
No. My main site is inkwellpress.com. And then really everything just kind of offshoots off that. The podcast is inkwellpress.com/podcast. The course is inkwellpress.com/courses. So you can easily find me going to inkwellpress.com. And of course, I'm on all the social media channels that, you know, possibly are out there using the username inkwellpress. So you can find me that way as well.
Well, Tanya, thank you so much for joining me today. This was a lot of fun, very informative, and I've taken lots of notes as we've been chatting of ways that I can continue to streamline. I think one thing to leave our audience with too is that I think it's important to remember that systems are always a work in progress and something that we can always be improving on, tweaking. And at the same time, if a system is not working for you, it's totally okay to abandon it and go with something else or try something new. And I know you agree with that same mentality.
Absolutely.
As well.
Yes, absolutely. I think assessment and reflection is a really important part of productivity. What is working for you and what's not, you know, and it's okay to change.
Totally. Well, thank you again for joining me. It was a lot of fun.
It was fun. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course.
If you're enjoying this episode, I'd love it if you could take 2 minutes to leave us a review, rating, or subscribe on Apple Podcasts. You can also listen at Stitcher or your favorite podcast player. Proof to Product is brought to you by Trade Show Bootcamp and hosted by me, Katie Hunt.
Since 2011, TSBC has worked with hundreds of product-based businesses to help them uplevel, scale, and build profitable, sustainable companies. You can find our show notes and additional resources at prooftoproduct.com. And if you like what you heard today, please head over to Apple Podcasts to leave a 5-star review and subscribe. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back next week with a new episode.